several different definitions of the word grace. You know, athletes are usually graceful. I got to watch only a little bit of the Notre Dame game last night, but those big guys can be graceful in the way they make their bodies do what they have to do to win the game. Clearly, if you watch gymnasts, they're graceful. They're amazing. Divers, all sorts of people in athletics show enormous grace. I'd even dare to say, looking around this cathedral, I bet some of you are pretty good dancers in your day. And there's a lot of gracefulness in a man and woman dancing together. So that's one definition of grace. Another is to be graceful as a form of courtesy. We've all heard the phrase, graceful under fire. That's when politicians or even bishops keep their cool when they're being attacked, try to say the right thing, even in tough circumstances. I'm sure in your lives, there's all sorts of moments. You could blow up, but you show grace under fire and kind of keep in control of yourself in a way that helps rather than hurts. But for believers, grace has some theological meaning. Those of you who remember the old catechism, there is actual grace. That's the everyday graces we need to get up, do our jobs, cook the food, hose down the kids, be there for the grandkids, do all the things that we do every day. God gives us actual grace to accomplish those deeds. But then there is sanctifying grace. That is something that affects us in the core of our being. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist is where God adopts us and we're born again and live in the life of Christ in a real way. All the sacraments give grace. But that word grace, actually, in our faith-filled meaning, is really just another word for God's presence. It is Almighty God that adopts us. It is Almighty God that makes ordinary bread and wine become the body, the blood, the soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is Almighty God who ordains. It is Almighty God who heals the sick through the sacrament of anointing. And it is Almighty God that unites man and woman together in the unbreakable bonds of holy matrimony. God, who loves us, is there in all the important moments of our lives, and His love is so amazing, it changes us over and over again. We heard that beautiful reading from St. Paul about all the rich meanings of love, the greatest of God's gifts. The way God perhaps is most expressed is in His love for us and our love for Him in return. And the privileged vocation of Christian marriage gives all of you opportunities over and over again to live in God's love by being there for one another, by being one another's best friends, by preferring one another even to your beloved children or children's children, to put the other one first, to forgive and forget, to be one flesh and one spirit before Almighty God. It is not without significance that the first miracle Jesus Christ worked, His first sign revealing Himself as our Savior, took place at a wedding feast. We all know the story. There was a disaster. They ran out of wine. These folks weren't Baptists. They were Jews. Kind of like the Irish or the Polish. You couldn't have a wedding feast without that wine. And as so often in our journey of faith, Mary is there. She brings the matter to the Lord. He seems at first to hesitate, but he cannot resist his mother's prayer. And she gives the best advice anyone could give to married couples, to priests, to deacons, to any believer. Do whatever he tells you. And he makes ordinary water into an abundance of the richest vintage of wine. That's what he does in all the sacraments. He takes our little, our human stuff, our imperfection, and makes it wonderful through his grace, which is truly through his presence. Families are clearly represented here in so many ways. You know, I hope you know, what a gift you've been to your families, to your children, to your children's children. But you are also a gift and a blessing and a grace to your parishes, to the diocese, to the universal church. You are living sacraments, outward signs that affect God's love in the world. You build all of us up. The family is the domestic church, the most basic unit of our religion. And you are the ministers of God's love in your families. So the whole diocese rejoices today as your families celebrate together. You are a grace to us. We do this Thanksgiving, of course, in the best possible way. We are before the wedding banquet of the Lord, where in a certain sense, God becomes the spouse of his church. God speaks to us words of love in the Holy Scriptures. God feeds us and nourishes us with the most precious thing there is, Jesus Christ, our food and drink for time and for eternity. And this banquet of love points us to another banquet where every tear will be wiped away, where you will see your loved ones who've gone before you, beloved parents and grandparents, friends, people who've been important to you, and you will be united in a bliss and a joy which married love indicates for us. At our Father's table, there is no end to glory, no end to peace, no end to happiness. So let us rejoice in God's grace and recommit ourselves to live in that blessing for the rest of our lives.